want to speak this morning on the title of Jesus, the Seeker and the Saviour of the Lost, particularly to concentrate on Luke chapter 19, verse 10, which reads, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This verse is Jesus' own description or commentary on the events which had just taken place, namely his meeting with Zacchaeus and his salvation. This verse is a description of all the Saviour's work, in fact, here upon the earth, and also of his continued ministry by the Holy Spirit from heaven today. Christ's ministry today is the same ministry continued from heaven, namely to seek and to save that which was lost. When we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we read of our Saviour living a real human life in a real human society. His life took place in the real generation of people in Israel. It was a real life lived. But his biography is not just an ordinary biography. It is the biography of salvation. Every action of Jesus, every word he spoke, every time he touched someone, it is packed with meaning and relevance for the people at the time, yes, but for us also today and for all the generations that have been before us and all that will come after us. And therefore this statement deserves our full attention. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is basically saying that this story of Zacchaeus is an example or a microcosm of his work. And that's why you can come to this story some 2,000 years and more later and find salvation in this story. The same Saviour who met Zacchaeus can meet you individually and save you in the way that he saved Zacchaeus. From the very beginning of his life here upon the earth, Jesus had a special purpose. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, the husband of Mary, and said, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So even the name given to our Lord speaks of the special purpose for which he came, namely to seek and to save those who are lost. Because Jesus means Saviour. And in the final analysis, the reason why we can be saved, and those of us who are saved, is because of the fact that God's nature is one which seeks and saves. We could never have found the Lord were it not for the fact that the Lord was seeking us. In the Garden of Eden, at the very beginning, the Lord God came searching for Adam and Eve, who were hiding from him, and said, "Where are you?" They were hiding amongst the trees because they had sinned. And God came seeking. He came searching. "Where are you?" And ever since, God has continued to seek sinners, to seek those who are lost. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 16, God says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. You see, it's God's nature to seek the lost, the broken and the sick people of the world. And we know in our lives that if we lose something that is of value to us, we go out of our way to find it, don't we? We'll often see to happen in Exmoor a lot. We'll often see on the billboards or on the telephone posts a poster of a lost, missing animal, often a dog, saying, this dog is missing. Is there any information? If you can provide any information, there's this reward for you. Or a newly married woman doing the washing up and she loses her wedding ring down the plug hole in the sink. Well, it's no trouble for her to call the plumber in and rip all the plumbing out to try and find this lost ring, because she places so much value upon it. You see, the amount of effort that we put into finding something testifies to the value that we place on that lost item. And we know that God values us. We know that God values you so much because he sent his one and only Son from heaven into this world to find you, to seek for you, and to save you. He seeks us, and yet we don't seek him. We don't look for him. Like Adam and Eve, we hide from him by nature. Romans 3 verse 10 and 11 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And that's true, isn't it? If it were not for the fact that God sought us, we would never have started to seek him. And the story of Zacchaeus is an illustration of this seeking and saving work of God. This incident happened towards the very end of Christ's life and ministry here upon the earth. It was his last journey to Jerusalem, shortly before the great Passover feast. And we know from Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ knew what would take place once he reached Jerusalem. He warned his disciples of his sufferings and death, and spoke of this hour that was approaching, but which had yet not come. But here, at this point in the gospel, the hour was very much upon him. There were very few days left. And yet we read of him spending his last days not trying to work out a plan of how to get out of the suffering that was in front of him. That's what we would have done. To find some kind of escape chute. He spent his last days doing what? Seeking and saving the lost. He continued his work right to the very end. He loved his own until the very end, even in the last few hours when it was possible to work. Until the darkness finally came, he continued his work. That's how much value he places upon the lost. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And he had reached Jericho. Jericho is about 15 miles, about 8 hours walk, until you get to Jerusalem. So he was nearly there. Perhaps another day of walking to go. But as soon as he came near Jericho, a blind man cried out to him for mercy. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave him his sight. Making a little more progress, he entered into Jericho itself. And he had gotten a certain way when another person was there for whom Jesus had come to find and to save. And he sees this man, Zacchaeus, who out of a large crowd is sitting on a tree, a sycamore tree. He was a short man, he was small, and he had gone up to the tree so that he could get a good view of the Lord Jesus as he walked by. And the Lord sees him amongst the branches of the tree and says, "Come down straight away, because I'm coming to your house today, because this is the day you're going to be saved. This is the day of your salvation." And Zacchaeus responds immediately and comes down from the tree and joyfully takes the Lord Jesus into his home. Now, it was a big crowd. It says there was a big press. And yet Jesus chose to speak, to address himself to one person, Zacchaeus. He wasn't even on the ground, he was up in the tree. Why did he talk to Zacchaeus of all those people? The people, the crowd murmured, they complained about the fact that the Lord Jesus was making friends with Zacchaeus of all people. Because Zacchaeus was a tax collector, one of the most hated people in that society. You see, Israel was ruled over by Rome, and Rome appointed tax collectors, and they recruited people from the native population, fellow other Jews. And to be a tax collector in those days, you had to pay Rome a certain amount of money to operate as a tax collector. And Rome set various taxes that had to be collected, but the tax collector could keep any excess tax which he could collect. And tax collectors were rich people because they gathered more tax than they had to gather. And the excess tax they put in their own pockets. And they were considered the lowest people in society. You can imagine if Germany, for example, had won the war and had invaded Britain, and we were ruled by the Germans, and then one of us were collecting taxes from us, would that person be popular? We would consider them a traitor, wouldn't we? Because they were collaborating with the enemy. Well, that's what Zacchaeus was doing. He had sold his own country down the river. And he had made himself rich through his treachery. And all such people were considered by the religious authorities as unclean. They were not allowed to attend the synagogue. Other people were not allowed to make friends with them because the rules were that if a clean person came into contact with an unclean person, then you would become unclean yourself. And the only people that were allowed to mix with tax collectors were that group in society which were called sinners. Other people that were considered unclean. And that's why you get in the Gospels this catchphrase, tax collectors and sinners. They were a group in society that were beyond the pale. They were the lowest of the low. People would walk by them. They weren't allowed into church. And yet this is the group of people that Jesus spent most of his time with. Jesus was constantly mixing with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In fact, Jesus spent so much time with this group that he was known as a friend of publicans and sinners, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In Luke 7, verse 34. Well, Zacchaeus was from this group. And it was this man, this short man, this short, despised man, that of all the people in that crowd, Jesus decided to seek and to save. The one he had decided of all those people, he would give the gift of everlasting life to. And that shows us this morning, dear friends, that you don't have to be a special person, a good person. You don't have to be a very great, a very high person in society. The Lord Jesus loves the lowest in society. He loves the poorest. He loves the people that everyone else rejects. He wants to be a friend of those who have no friends. He wants to come into the homes of those who very rarely have anyone who would want to come into their home, because he loves the unloved. He loves tax collectors and sinners, and he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus has come for this purpose. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Jesus' sermon, if you like, his commentary on what he had just done with Zacchaeus. He's saying, that sums up my ministry, that sums up what I have just done. Jesus says that he has come for this purpose. He was born for this purpose, and this purpose only. He didn't come to educate, to teach. He didn't come to set a moral example. He didn't come to improve society. He came to seek and to save the lost. And that, my friends, is the gospel. The true gospel is about that. Our Lord's whole life was defined by this mission. He focused on this. He spent himself on it to the point of blood. All his strength was spent on seeking and saving. All his praying, all his preaching, all his discipling, all his healing, all his suffering, and ultimately his death and resurrection was all for one purpose: to seek and to find those who were lost. Jesus barely had a moment to himself. He had no private life. He had little time for meals. He had no settled place for sleep, because he had to go on to the next village. He had to go on to the next family. He had to go on to the next soul whom he was seeking and saving. He made his meat and drink to do the will of his Father in heaven. And I wonder today, friends, whether we as his body, his church, have that same energy and focus and commitment. Because it is our job today, by the Holy Spirit, to continue that work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. So Jesus came. He came from somewhere else. He came from another world. We'll be talking about that as we celebrate Christmas. He came from a world where all is light and all is peace. He left heaven to come into this world. But he comes as the Son of Man. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Jesus used this title more than any. He says that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom. The term the Son of Man is Jesus' favourite description of himself, borrowed as it were from Daniel, particularly Daniel 7, where it was prophesied that the one who comes will come in with the clouds of heaven, one like unto a Son of Man, who would come even unto the Ancient of Days. And Jesus, we read in Philippians chapter 2, emptied himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And it's vital today, dear friends, for your salvation and for mine, that Christ came as the Son of Man. He had to come as that divine Messiah, because if you're going to seek and to save that which was lost, you need all sorts of powers. You need all wisdom, you need all power. You need divine knowledge and divine power to save a lost soul. You need the attributes of God. And Jesus brings all these powers, all this knowledge and wisdom to the task of seeking and saving the lost. You see, Jesus has all the qualifications needed to be the Saviour of the world. It's not enough to seek. You have to have the power to save once you've found the person. And the Lord Jesus, because he is the Son of Man, is uniquely qualified to save lost souls. When Jesus met Nathanael the first time, he saw him from a distance and he read his character perfectly. He said, "He was an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael was absolutely astonished. First of all, he knew his name, and then he read his character. And Nathanael said, "Where knowest me? How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Even before Philip called you, when you were stood under that tree, I knew you." You see, the Lord Jesus had the power of God to know that man inside out. He read him. "I saw thee." When he healed the sick of the palsy as the Son of Man, that is the Messiah, he showed his authority on earth to forgive sins by saying, "Arise, take up thy bed and go to thy house." Time and again, Jesus, by his miracles, showed his power and ability to save guilty souls and to say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Only God has the power and authority to forgive sins. And Jesus constantly said to people that he was seeking and saving, "Your sins are forgiven." And we see this wonder-working power of Christ to seek and to save in the story of Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus was hidden amongst the branches of the tree. And from a distance, with laser vision, Jesus sees him amongst the branches and says, "Come down." They had never met, yet Jesus knew his name. He calls him Zacchaeus. And he looked at him He looked at Zacchaeus. And when Jesus looks at you, you can't evade his look. Adam and Eve couldn't evade the look of God in the garden when he said, "Where are you?" When he said, "What have you done?" When they had disobeyed him. See, when Jesus looks on a life, he looks at a life in such a way that the person cannot ignore. You cannot turn your eyes away from the eyes of God. And there comes a time in life when Jesus comes to you because he's seeking and he wants to save you. And he's looking at you as an individual, not everyone else, just you. And he's come to seek you and to save you. And he's looking at you and he's calling you by name. And he's saying, "Come down from wherever you are and invite me into your life and into your home. Because I want to be your saviour. I want you to be mine." You see, Jesus has great power to save. At a single word, Zacchaeus is changed. He becomes repentant. He says, I'll restore anything that I've stolen from others. And with joy, he becomes a disciple of the Lord. But notice Jesus didn't just seek him. Jesus saved him. You see, the lost need to be found and saved. Imagine if you were in a boat lost at sea and the waves are all around you, didn't know where you were, and the lifeboat arrived to save you, and the lifeboat found you but then just sailed away and left you where you were. Yes, everyone knows where you are now, but you're still in jeopardy. You still need to be saved. Or a mountain rescue team, you've gone on a climb up a mountain and you've got lost, and the mountain rescue people have found you, and then they just leave you. It wouldn't be any use at all, would it? But Jesus seeks, he finds, and he saves. He brings people home to safety. You see, to be lost means to be missing. To be lost means to be missing to God. We're lost to God. We read in Luke chapter 15 that we are lost to God. We're out of his possession and out of his use. And when we're missing to God, disaster and pain comes upon us. In Luke 15, God is likened to a shepherd seeking a lost sheep. He's likened to a woman seeking a lost coin. And he's likened to a father seeking a lost son. But we read, didn't we, of the joy that comes to God when he finds that which is lost. It says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, than over 99 just persons that need no repentance." It says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over God, over one sinner that repenteth." And then it says, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." You see, God rejoices and will rejoice. The angels in heaven rejoice when a lost sinner is found and is saved. All heaven, as it were, explodes in a kind of joy every time someone comes to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ today is still seeking, still searching, still saving, still finding those who are trying to hide away from him. And I wonder this morning whether you feel his call. Because when Jesus calls, you will come. Zacchaeus came. Do you hear his voice? Zacchaeus recognized that voice. He never met Jesus, but there was something about his voice which he recognized. And it says in Scripture that the sheep always hear and recognize the shepherd's voice. And when Jesus calls, it is time to obey. It is time to come to him. And this morning, if you have felt through this story the call of Jesus, remember that he will rejoice. He will rejoice over you if you come. The angels in heaven will rejoice over just one sinner that repents. So come to him this morning and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.